We have got a real treat for you. If you're a guest with us tonight, thank you for being here. And to those of us that are home folk, it's always a thrill when Dr. Gibbs is here with us. And I just, I could not express in words how much our church appreciates Dr. Gibbs and his ministry. And then it's not our church only, it's churches all across this land that are one phone call away from the resources and the help and the prayer, and then walking through step by step with different issues. And so you say, wow, you haven't had to call them, have you? Well, thank the Lord, not in some ways that maybe other churches have had to, but yes, on a regular basis we call, and they always say the same thing. They give a help if it's something they need to check out on legally and say give us the best advice. They do, and they get back with us, but then they also respond with prayer and say, Pastor, we are going to be praying with the staff about that very issue. And so I could not express to you in words how much of a blessing this ministry is to us. And then if we go a step further, then the men that have come, they're a great blessing to me as well. And then Dr. Gibbs, of course, has been our friend for years, and he is just a wonderful, wonderful treasure. And so, Brother Gibbs, thank you for being at Buffalo Ridge. And so we gladly want to hear what the Lord has given you for this evening, and you're always a joy to have here with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. What a privilege and an honor to get to be here. My staff and I have been chatting. It has been such a wonderful day for us. Just to enjoy the spirit of your church here, how we love your pastor and his precious family. I love the way your pastor eats. Boy, I'm telling you. How many of you like to eat? Hold your hand up. Well, yeah, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a sick puppy. That's all there is to it. Wow, thank you for all the great food and the beautiful fruit basket you put in my room. It had my favorite fruit in it, my favorite fruit, Snickers and Hershey's and Reese's peanut butter cups. There's nothing worse than a fruit basket full of fruit. And so you guys just hit the button right on the head. And then watching these precious children, my goodness, that was just such a blessing. The song they sang, how appropriate for Thanksgiving. Let's thank those children one more time, would you? That was excellent. Just excellent. The whole idea of our ministry started with my wife. It wasn't my idea at all. I had just graduated from law school. I was working for a large law firm, several hundred lawyers in the firm. And one night, my wife and I were having devotions, and we got down on our knees to pray together by our couch. And she asked me a question that changed our lives. She said, "Do you think God could use you as a lawyer to have a ministry?" Now, this is 1969. I said, "A lawyer with a ministry?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Honey, I don't think God even likes lawyers all that much. Lord want us to have a ministry with one." There was a complete disconnect flying by me. I said, "What did you have in mind?" She said, "Well, if anybody has ever sued or threatened for doing what the Bible says they should do, could we tell God we'd like to defend them and not make a charge?" I said, "Not make a charge? They didn't teach that in law school." I said, "Well, who in the world do you know is in trouble for the faith?" She said, "I don't know anybody." But she said, "Could we just tell God, if he ever needs somebody, we're available?" And then she did this. She said, "Could we tell him, please use us, that we'd like to be used?" Wow. By the way, that's all God wants from us is, "Please use me, God." What a privilege. That was a Thursday night. And Brother Farmer, I got to tell you, I said yes to her. We prayed for that just to please my wife. How many of you know it's a smart thing to please your wife? How many of you men have figured that out? That was Thursday night. Tuesday morning, I got a call from a pastor, and he said, "I think I've been sued for the faith." I said, "I'm sure you're wrong, but bring me your papers. Let me read them." He brought his papers to me that day. I read them. I said, "Man, you have been sued for the faith." He said, "Well, I told you." He said, I don't have any money and I don't know what to do. He said, could you help me? I said, well, it's interesting. We have a ministry that does this. He said, you do? I said, yeah. He said, what's its name? I said, it don't have a name. He said, well, how long have you had it? I said, since last Thursday night. Everything starts somewhere. And he said, so I'd be your first case? I said, yeah, you would be. You'd be the first case that we'd help. He said, well, I'd be honored to do that. Little did I know, little did he know, that that lawsuit against that pastor and that church would go on for 14 years. That we'd go up and down in appeals countless times. And when we finally prevailed and won that lawsuit, that was the lawsuit that gave us the right to have Christian schools in America. Wow. I promise you, all God wants from you, all God wants from me is, please use me. Please use me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. Twice in the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus marveled. And when it says Jesus marveled, I think the way we'd probably phrase it today is something so overwhelmingly impressed the Son of God, he was wowed by it. He was marveled by it. One time, he was marveled by something incredibly wonderful. But the other time he was marveled for something that was heartbreaking. The first time that he marveled was with his own people at his own village. He went there and here is the Son of God. And he marveled at their lack of faith. And he said because of their lack of faith, he couldn't do many and mighty things there. Remember, faith is what activates the power of God. The Bible says, ask in faith, believing, and ye shall receive. It's not just a matter of asking, it's asking and believing in faith. And Jesus was wowed at their lack of faith. If the Lord was here tonight, I wonder which way he would be marveled. Because the second time that he uses the word, it's found in the passage we're about to read, and he was marveled at someone's incredible faith. He said, I've not seen no such faith in all of Israel. Now remember, without faith, the scripture says it's impossible to please God. Doesn't say it's unlikely, doesn't say it's difficult. It says it is impossible. When we walk in courtrooms, when we go in legislatures, if I don't have faith, there's nothing in that room going to please God. And God says, I want you to have faith in me. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But then he says, by faith, you can do impossible things. Remember the people that needed to be healed. And Jesus said to them, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Tonight, I just want to ask you, how's your faith? We're about to read a story of a centurion. It's found in chapter 7 of the book of Luke. And this is the man that wowed Jesus with his incredible faith. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, I love that, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that this man was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And when Jesus went with them, then Jesus went with them. And he was now not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto them, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I hope you have verse 9 underlined in your Bible. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He was wowed. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. How's our faith? How's my faith? Remember, according to our faith, so be it unto us. Now let me tell you just a few things in this story. Jesus picked a centurion. A centurion was a very unique person in this story because he was a conquering force. Rome had occupied and overwhelmed the nation of Israel. And they moved in and they conquered them. And the centurions were the soldiers that were the conquering force. And a centurion had powers that were literally given to him by Rome that were kind of unbelievable. A centurion had the right to take anything from you he wanted to take, and he didn't have to give any reason for it. If he wanted your family, he could take it and make them slaves. If he wanted your house you were living in, if he wanted anything you had, he had absolute power as a conquering force. This centurion could do anything he wanted. He could kill you. He could kill anybody he wanted to, and there were no consequences. You couldn't make him stop because he was the authority. This man didn't have to be nice to anybody. He had every bit of a power and authority that Rome could give him. Now, Jesus says, this centurion had a sick servant. And this centurion did three things, and I want you to mark them in your scripture, because this is what Jesus marveled at about his faith. The man that didn't have to be nice to anybody was nice to the people. He was kind. He was kind. The scripture commands you and me to be a kind people. Tender-hearted, loving, forgiving. The scripture commands us to be kind in what we do in life. This centurion didn't have to be kind. He had all the power. He could do anything he wanted to do. But they said, listen, he has this sick servant. And they said, we beseech you, Jesus. They besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath built unto us a synagogue. He was kind to people he didn't have to be kind to. Who are you kind to? Who am I kind to? Well, I want to be kind to people who can do things for me. I want to be kind to people that I can in some measure use and help me. But kind to people that I don't have to be kind to? They can't do anything for me. I'm the power. Jesus said, let me tell you about this centurion. He was so kind to the people that when they went to Jesus, they said, do this for him. This man who doesn't have to be kind is kind unto us. Wow. My grandfather taught me some great lessons in life about being kind. My granddad was not well educated. He left school in the fifth grade because he didn't want to repeat it for the third time. Now, he was extremely dyslexic, but nobody knew about it then. They just thought he was stupid. Well, what my grandfather did when he left school, I mean, they just said, there's no sense in you coming back. We can't help you. The only way he knew to make a living was how to slaughter a cow. So my grandfather went home and cut a deal with a neighbor. He said, I'll take your cow and I'll slaughter it, and I'll take it into town and sell it, and then I'll come back and pay you for it, and I'll make some money killing it for you. So the next morning he got up, killed a cow, took it into town and sold it. Next day he did it again, then the next day again. He did it 6 days a week, just never on Sunday. One cow became two, two became 10, 10 became 100. And by the time I came along and knew anything, my granddad and my dad were killing 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week. They were putting them in semis and shipping them everywhere. He couldn't hardly sign his name. He had trouble reading a book. He'd have to put his finger on the print just to watch where it was. But he had something about him that was kind. One day he called me into his office and he said, David, I didn't treat this farmer right. I said, what are you talking about, Grandpa? He said, I bought his cattle too cheap. Now we're buying thousands of cattle a week. And he was watching every one of them. And he said, I didn't treat him right. I said, let me see the paperwork. I looked at it. I said, Grandpa, we didn't do anything wrong. We were high bid at the auction. Other people didn't bid. So we stole them at auction. That's just the game. We didn't do anything wrong. He said, no, that's not how a Christian does it, David. I said, what do you mean? He said, you want somebody to buy your cattle too cheap? I said, no. Then he said, don't you ever do to somebody else what you wouldn't want them to do to you. You're commanded to be kind. Remember what Jesus said about his love? Love is kind. He said, David, I stole their cattle. I said, here's what I want you to do, son. I've put money in this envelope. Big fat envelope. And he said, I want you to get to this farmer's house before they go to bed tonight. And I want you to give him this to make it right. I said, Grandpa, you don't have to do this. He said, no, I do. He said, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to be kind to people because my faith requires it. He said, now it's 300 miles from here. It's the dead of winter in Ohio. And he said, make sure you get there before they go to bed because I don't want them to worry. He said, that would hurt me if they worry over what I did to them. I got in the car and I started driving and I thought, I wonder how much money's in that envelope. He never told me. But at a stoplight, I stopped and I opened it up. It was $160,000 in that envelope. Is that what you do? Is that what I do? Oh, no, not me, Brother Gibbs. Man, if I can get the better end of a deal, I'm going to ring it blue because I'm in it for me. And if I can get the advantage over you, man, you better duck. I'm not treat you kind to that. No. Wow. This centurion was kind to them when he didn't have to be kind. He built them a whole synagogue that Rome would oppose. And yet he showed them this kindness. I got to that farm about 9 o'clock at night, knocked on their door, and the lady at the farm, she pulled a little curtain back and looked out at me. And then she opened the door and I said, my name's Dave Gibbs. And my granddad, Earl Gibbs, said, we didn't treat you right. We didn't do it on purpose, but we didn't treat you right, and we're Christians. And we have a duty to be kind to you because our faith says we're to treat you the way we'd want you to treat us. And we bought your cattle too cheap here. And I handed him the money. Now her husband came up, and they opened the envelope and started looking. And that dear lady started sobbing so hard that she got a nosebleed. I'll never forget what she said. What kind of man does this? What kind of man does what he doesn't have to do? Her husband said, a Christian, honey. A Christian who the Bible says, be kind, tender-hearted. Wow. Mr. Centurion, why did Jesus tell us about your kindness? Because kindness is where faith grows, and we're commanded to be kind. When my grandfather passed away and went home to be with the Lord, they were going to have a viewing at the funeral home the afternoon before, like from about 3 o'clock until 8, and then the funeral was going to be the next morning. But they had to cancel the funeral because thousands of people showed up. Thousands of people came that I didn't even know existed. And they started coming in. They came from all 50 states, cattle people from everywhere. They came from 11 foreign countries. And one by one, they walked by my grandfather laying there. And they said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he did, how kind he was to us. At the end of the road, what is somebody going to be able to say about you? What is somebody going to be able to say about me? Were you kind? That lady I took that money to, and I wasn't the only one who returned money. She came up, and she grabbed me by the neck and hugged me, and she said, Little Gibbs, I know this is hard to imagine now, but back then everybody called me Little Gibbs. She hugged my neck and she said, Little Gibbs, get what he had. Be like him. Get it. Why did Jesus tell us about this centurion's kindness? Why did he go in such detail? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he was kind. We've forgotten. I'll be kind if it's in my advantage. But boy, if it's not in my advantage, then I'm going to just politely forget about being kind and sweet. No, no, no. No. You know what that funeral would amaze me? Hundreds of people came up and said, your granddad is the one who trucked me to church and got me saved. He took his trucks and sent drivers out with them, and they picked the kids up, and they called them the truck kids. And there were hundreds of them there. And nobody even knew about it. What are you doing to be kind? There's a whole world out there that's selfish. There's a whole world out there that's just watching out for themselves. But I promise you, by the power of God, we're called to be a kind, gracious people. The first key to why Jesus marveled at him was because of his kindness. Write the second thing down. Number one, he was kind. Number two, he was humble. He was humble. Look at what he says. Lord, verse 6, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Whether neither I thought myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Wait a minute. You're this mega power force. And you're telling Jesus that you're not worthy? You're humble? Now, the Bible commands us to be humble. Be ye humble is a scriptural command. And the opposite of being humble is pride. And if you're only going to hear one thing tonight, please hear this. The most serious spiritual cancer you can have in your life is pride. Can I remind you what the Bible says? The Bible says that God opposes the proud. He says it twice in Scripture, James chapter 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. If you have any kind of pride in your life, you have God against you. Now, no one in their right mind wants to leave here tonight with God against them. But that's exactly where we're at if we have pride. When Jesus made the list of sins, which he hated with particularity, pride made the list twice. And God says, stop it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up. People call me all the time and say, boy, Brother Gibbs, we're having this nightmare, and we just can't figure out why it's all happening. And I always ask them, you don't have any pride in your life, do you? Because if you got pride in your life, you got Lord God Almighty against you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. The first thing you got to do is be kind. The second thing you got to do is be humble. And please note something here. He didn't humble himself in private. He humbled himself publicly. Everybody there heard about this. And it's recorded in Scripture for all eternity. I am not worthy that you should come to my house. Neither am I worthy to come to you. He humbled himself. How many of you know the name Lester Roloff? How many of you know that name? I had the privilege to do 14 jury trials for Lester Roloff. What a precious man of God. And Brother Roloff was a humble man. We were in the midst of a trial for him. And the lawyer on the other side just hated him with a vengeance. And I asked the lawyer, why do you hate Brother Roloff so much? He said, I don't know, I just do, I hate him. I want to ruin him, I want to destroy him, I want to put him in prison. I said, this man's never done one unkind thing to you and you hate him. He said, that's true. Well, one day we went to court early and Brother Roloff was with me. And here was this lawyer that hated him also in the courtroom, just the three of us. And we walked in and Brother Roloff said, David, stay here a minute. And Brother Roloff walked over to this lawyer who hated him and he said, can I hug your neck? He said, what? He said, I just want to tell you I love you. I'm commanded to love you. You're my enemy. And I'm commanded to love you. Could I hug your neck? Now I'm standing over here thinking, I want to hug him. I'll beat the living stuffings out of him. That lawyer began to shake. Brother Roloff said, I want you to know I'm a very, very unimportant man, but I serve a very important God. Can I hug you? That lawyer began to shake, and then he started to cry. Brother Roloff hugged him, and then he walked over by me. And Brother Roloff said, David, humble yourself. Humble yourself and love your enemies. Wow. Within a month, that lawyer got saved. Amen. And he didn't get saved off of what I did to him in a courtroom. He got saved off of what Brother Roloff did to him. Reaching out in humility. Being a humble man of God. You want your faith to be increased? Here's number one. You got to be kind. Number two, you got to be humble. humble yourself. Well, Brother Gibbs, I think I'm humble. Be careful, that's not a humble statement. Wow. We're all full of pride, thinking we're something. Look at what I bring to the table. Look at my experience. Look at what I've done. The truth of the matter is, if you knew David Gibbs like I know David Gibbs, if you knew me like God knows me, you'd say, Brother Gibbs, you got a lot to be humble over. And you'd be absolutely right. I hope you've got a lot of talent. But if you're not careful, talent can get you proud. Wow. Number one, Jesus marveled because of his kindness. Number two, because of his humility. Write number three down and we're done. Jesus marveled because he said, all I need from you is a word, just one word. I love this. But say in a word, verse 7, and my servant shall be healed. All I need from you is one word. Whew. Do you believe that? By the way, that's how you got saved. You took God at his word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you took God at his word. And God says to you and me, my word is where it's at. He was kind. He was humble. And he took God at his word. And Jesus marveled at that. Remind you, Jesus said, my word is going to not change for eternity. That book that's in your lap right now will read exactly like it does tonight for a gajillion eons from now for all eternity. It is the eternal word of God. And can I give you just three things to think about? Number one, he said, my power is in the word. I'm going to make it possible for you to overcome evil with good. By the word. By the word. And he says, I'm going to make it possible for you to do the impossible. Wow. That's how powerful the word of God is. And by God's grace, not only can you overcome evil with good, not only can you do the impossible, by the power of the word of God, you can be everything God wants you to be, filled with all might according to his glorious power. That's what the scripture says. Just say it in a word. That's all I need, Jesus. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak a word. That centurion would have loved to have the book in your lap. But it had not yet been perfected, not yet done. But if he could have had on his lap what we have on our lap right now, he would have said, this is all I need. The word of God. Wow. Mr. Centurion, you don't have to be nice to anybody. But by God's grace, you're a kind man. By God's grace, you're a humble man. You don't have pride. And by God's grace, you're taking God at his word. I was with Dr. Chappell in China. And we decided to try to go to an underground Chinese church. Now that's very dangerous there. Because if they catch Chinese people going to these underground illegal churches, they put them to death. Can you imagine what it would be like tonight to sit here and say, for just doing what we're doing right here, you could be put to death? But we decided these people had asked us to come and preach to them. And they said, listen, if you get caught, they'll export you from the country. They'll keep you in jail for a short period, a couple of days, but then you'll be put out of the country forever. But the people who are there, it means their life. And they want you to come preach to them. Well, I'll never forget, we walked through sewers and basements of buildings. We walked for 3 hours, I think. And finally, we came up in the basement of a building, and here was a church. in that basement. About 60, 70 people. And boy, were they ever happy, smiling. I couldn't get over. Here they are, under fear of death, holding church. But they all were smiling, and they were all happy. When we walked in, a young Chinese girl walked up to me. And she said, I'm going to sing before you preach, Brother Gibbs. I said, oh, great. She said, could I ask you a favor? Would you let me sing twice? Now, no one had ever asked me that. I said, sure, you sing as much as you want. She said, oh, thank you, thank you. And she walked away from me, and their pastor there came up to me. And he said, let me explain what that's about, Brother Gibbs. A year ago, they captured her father. And they tortured him to give up the location of the church. And he wouldn't do it. And after a lot of torture, they put him to death, trying to find where this church is. A month ago, they captured her mother and brother. And they tortured them to find out the location of the church. And neither her mother nor her brother gave in. Now she knows they're trailing her. And she's afraid this could be her last church service. So she wants to sing twice. Because it could be the last time. If tonight was going to be the last time you got to sing, how would you sing? Ooh. That Chinese teenager, I don't think she was 15, 16, beautiful, precious girl, stood up and the first song she sang is, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. What would be your last song? And then she said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Wow. I wept uncontrollably while she sang. When she was done singing, she came over by me. And she said, Brother Gibbs, I'm fine. I have his word. I have his word. We have the same word. The centurion, just say a word, and it'll be fine. It was her last church service, and they tried diligently to torture her and get her to give up the church, but she would not. But I'll never forget her hug around my neck. We get to heaven. She's one I got on my list to look up quickly. How about you? Would Jesus marvel at your faith because of your kindness? Would he marvel because of our humility, no pride? And would he marvel because we simply take him at his word? It means everything. Dozens of times I've stood up in courtrooms and legislatures and thought of that precious girl. And said, Lord, the word she has is the word I have. And I'm going to take you at your word. And Jesus heard these things. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. By the grace of God, we're the people called to be the folks of that same faith. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, what a thrill to be your child. What a thrill to know we belong to you for all eternity. You are our Heavenly Father. Nothing can ever change that. Jesus, thank you for this centurion who didn't have to be kind to anybody, but he was so kind you recorded it in Scripture. It'll be there for all eternity. And God, thank you for his humility. He wasn't proud. I am not worthy. He said it publicly. For you to come by me or come to my house, but just say a word. Father, we want you to marvel at our faith. You didn't tell us about the centurion just to vault him in our minds. You told us the story of him so our faith can be exactly the great faith that Jesus can marvel at. Brother Gibbs, I want that faith in my life. By the grace of God, I want to be, by faith, what God's called me to be. Because according to my faith, so be it unto me. How many of you say, God helping me, I want a purpose to be kind. God helping me, I want a purpose to be humble. And God helping me, I want a purpose to take God at his word. Brother Gibbs, my heart's been touched tonight. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. Oh, amen. You raised your hand as the piano plays. Would you come to this altar and join me for a closing prayer? Don't hesitate. Don't delay. You come right now. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. You come too. Oh, faith is what moves the arm of God. So great faith. I've not found anything like it in all of Israel, Jesus said. Doesn't matter what the trial is in your life. Doesn't matter what the storm is. We serve an all-powerful God. And faith is what activates his power. Father, I sure bow with these precious folks. I need my faith increased. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Diligence, hard work, that's not what pleases you. Faith is what pleases you. God, help me to be more kind and to be humble. And by your grace, to take you at your word. Hear the cry of our heart. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
As they continue to play and people are praying, I want you to join them. Maybe you're just having a little altar right there at your seat and telling the Lord, I want to be humble, remembering who he is and who I am. I want to be kind. And what Brother Gibbs said, just being kind, not because it benefits us, just because we're supposed to be kind. We've lost that in many of our lives, and I trust that we would gain it back tonight. And if you're here this evening as we've gathered together and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, talked about these Christian principles about being kind and being humble and trusting God. And you say, Brother John, I'm not even sure that I am a Christian. If that's you, my friend, as they play through this next verse, would you slip out and come? Me and Brother Daniel and Brother Kyle, we're all right here around. We'd be glad to take a Bible. And if you're a lady, we'd have a lady show you from the Word of God how you can be sure that Christ is your personal Savior. If that's you tonight, I challenge you to step out. But whatever God's led you to do, Christian, be praying right there. What Brother Gibbs said today is so true that people aren't looking for your Jesus, if he can't control, as he talked about this morning, you can't control your life, your tongue. Maybe you need extra prayer to say, Lord, help me. I'm going to be around family, friends, folks this week. I need to be a good testimony. As they just continue this verse, we'll close here in just a moment. Amen. Thank you. You may look this way. It's been a joy all day to be here with Dr. Gibbs and have him here with us. I want him to share just a word about how you can, if you aren't already following CLA, maybe through their newsletter and got some of their information out there, maybe you weren't in the service this morning. I want him to share just a word about some of the resources and then anything else he wants to share with you.
Thank you, Pastor. Let me say one final thing, too, just to put a tack on the message. There's a whole world out there that needs you to be kind to them. It used to amaze me when my wife would get to travel with me. We'd go in a motel or somewhere like that, or a courthouse, and there'd be somebody there cleaning floors or doing something, and she'd walk up to them and say, "Is there anything I could do that would be a kindness for you?" And they would stop and say, "You want to do a kindness for me? Why?" You see, they can't even begin to comprehend why you would care, because they can't do anything. We're not kind so they can do something for us. We're kind so that we can show them the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Boy, the Lord right now will give you somebody to cross their path tonight and be kind to them. Be gracious. Again, if you don't get our newsletter, please let us send it to you. 54 years we've sent this newsletter out, and I beg you for the privilege to send it to you. We need your prayers desperately. Prayer moves the arm of God. But you know what the Bible says? You have not because you what? Ask not. That's why I'm begging you to pray. The hope of America is not an election. The hope of America is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I need to send you this newsletter. Now, there's other great newsletters out there. Missionaries, we get dozens of them and pray for them. And I hope you do too. But please let us send you ours, and please pray for these cases. I promise you, the cases are waxing worse than worse. Right now, we are litigating the things I didn't think my grandchildren would ever see, because it's bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre. And what we dealt with today is just, it's like, whoa, what really? Please pray for these cases and ask God to spare America. If the Lord tarries his coming, what America is going to be there for the grandbabies? What America is going to be there for these precious kids who stood up here and sang? Oh, listen. The reason we have liberty is because some people ahead of us took a stand and gave us what we now have. But now that's in jeopardy. And now it's our turn as never before to stand and to pray. I tell everybody, be a witness for Jesus Christ. You've got wonderful gospel tracts outside here. I trust that you're fervent at handing those out. Gospel tracts are a powerful witnessing tool. Please get some and hand them out. And then number two, by the grace of God, pray. How many of you already get our newsletter? You did it this morning or something? Please, thank you. How many of you say, "I don't get your newsletter"? Send it to me, Brother Gibbs. I'll pray for this. Hold your hand up, would you? Ushers, come on right here and let's hand these out real quick. This is Steve Cluth of our staff. Steve's been with us 27 years. Brother Adams, one of our lawyers, has been with us 18 or how many years? 19 years, Micah? 19 years. And I'm just blessed to have these people. And Dennis Giddings is my son-in-law. I've got the best son-in-law in the whole wide world. He is a jewel. I'm blessed to have them. And I have a sister. I can't take her anywhere. She knows too many things about me. Okay. And so I have to leave her at home. But I've just been so blessed to have the people in our ministry that we have. Please take that envelope and fill it out. And then we'll pick it up back at the book table. We covet your prayers. Covet them. And by the way, if you ever need prayer, we get hundreds of prayer requests a week of people saying, "Brother Gibbs, I know your staff prays. Could you pray for this?" And we faithfully do that. So if you need a prayer request, and by the way, the first place you should take a prayer request is to your local church. And your pastor. Boy, this is such an incredible church. And I just love what this man of God is doing here and his precious family. But please, if we can help join in prayer, give us the privilege to do that. In the back are some books. I talked about One Nation Under God this morning. They're trying to get God out of our history books. And that's why we wrote this book. I was in court listening to these professional witnesses tear into our testimony, saying they're lying about this. God had nothing to do with the founding of America. And one day I said, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to write a book that shows exactly what God did do. And that's why we wrote this book. So please. And once again, our policy is every dime we make on a book, we put into paying for the lawsuits. But if you don't have money, please permit us the privilege of giving you a book. We want to get it in your hands. Also, my wife's ladies' devotional books. My wife needs your prayers. She's suffering from seizures that we never anticipated. And so what she has done, because she can't travel, she makes prayer her ministry. And every single day she prays on a short day, 3-4 hours. And on a lot of days, she'll pray 6 or 8 or more hours. Your pastor and this church have been prayed for fervently out loud. I've heard my wife do it. Please, these books that she writes, from my heart to yours. And I tell everybody again, if you're looking for fluff, these will disappoint you. But if you're looking for somebody who's writing from the heart, saying God knows what's in our hearts, that's what's here. And then the Georgie books, Georgie the Frog. How my wife ever came up with that idea of a little green frog, I don't know. But it has really been used of God. Thousands and thousands of kids have memorized scripture off of the Georgie books. They're in the back. Tonight, before we go to bed, my wife and I are going to pray for your pastor and his precious wife. And I want you to join us. Now listen carefully. I'm not asking you to say a prayer at McDonald's. You go, you get your quarter pounder or your double quarter pounder with cheese, and you say, Lord, be with pastor and his wife. That prayer is great, no problem. But that's not what I'm asking for. Would you get on your knees tonight and go to the throne room and pray for your preacher and pray for his family and join my wife and I? We'll be there, and we want to join you there. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, before I go to bed tonight, I will get on my knees and go to the Lord on behalf of our pastor and this ministry. I'll see you in the throne room. Hold your hand up if you'll do that. Praise the Lord. I promise you, that's something that we need to do. The devil hates this church, and he hates what your pastor's doing. Bear him up in prayer. Bear him up in prayer. One final thing. If we can ever hear of somebody that's having a religious liberty battle, please give us a call. People all the time say to me, we hate to call you, Brother Gibbs, because you're so overloaded on occasion. And our staff knows this. When we get to serve, that's our privilege. That's our honor. People say, oh, thank you for helping us. I say, no, you got it all backwards. Thank you for letting us serve you. From the day my wife did this and said, here we are, please use us. When you give us the privilege to serve, that's our honor. And if you ever know anybody that we can help, please let us know. Preacher, we love you. God bless you. And thank you again for allowing us to be here. God bless y'all.
Thank you for being our guest all day today. And I know I've been blessed, and I know you have as well. And so I'm going to ask some of the CLA staff will be back at the table there. And if you have some of the resources you don't yet have and you'd like to pick those up, then you certainly can. Or maybe you have some questions that they could answer. I'm sure they'd be glad to help in any way. As we leave, I want to say a couple words of thanks for the folks that took care of a lot of things during the service. You heard the sound system giving some trouble. I want to thank the guys upstairs and down and ladies as well that were the sound personnel for getting things taken care of. There was a lot of work that goes into a normal Sunday. Thank God for that. that. Thank the Lord for the musicians. We changed some things. Well, Miss Kim over here, and everybody always has a wonderful attitude. So, well, that's good. Let's do it. Let's go. And when it could be easy to get grumble, like he preached about this morning, but I'm thankful that they don't, and thankful for that. And all the folks that have served today, thank you, thank you. As you go, be praying for Preacher Lastly. As I mentioned this morning, I don't know if I did this today for service, but he's over at Johnson City Medical Center. They're doing some tests on him. Took a fall yesterday, and so they're going to do some heart cath tomorrow, Lord willing. And so be in prayer for him. And then tomorrow night, if you're able to be here, I know they would appreciate it, the visitation with Sharon Harmon from 5 to 7. Then the memorial service is right at the conclusion, that 7 o'clock. And if you're not able to be here, be praying for Brother Craig and his family, that the Lord would strengthen them. So just those few words. Let's all stand together. They'll play us out. It's wonderful to be here. The staff will be back at the table if you have any questions. And if you have any questions for us, please find Brother Daniel, Brother Cower, myself. And then Brother Gibbs will be up here. If you want to say a word to him before you leave, then certainly do that. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed. Amen. What a joy.